Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I deem him one of the greatest beings alive in our time. His name will live in history. It will live in the annals of war. It will live in the legends of Arabia.
He was a very great man.
He was a poet, a scholar, and a mighty warrior. He was also the most shameless exhibitionist since Barnum and Bailey.
I put it before Congress because I could not honestly claim that the threat posed by Assad's use of chemical weapons on innocent civilians and women and children posed a imminent direct threat to the United States. In that situation, obviously, I don't worry about Congress. We do what we have to do to keep the American people safe. I could not say that it was immediately, directly going to have an impact on our allies. Again, in those situations, I would act right away.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. A rogue administration, government anarchy. It's like a rogue administration, like a rogue elephant gone wild on a killing spree. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Isn't it ironic that all the libs are now for the war, and here I sit, an anti-war conservative. Whatever happened to the anti-war celebrities who had such big yaps and haven't been seen or heard since 2009? Bruce Springsteen? Last known pre-2009 communication, according to BuzzFeed, he said, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. I would say Bruce Springsteen is good for nothing. Or Sheryl Crow, Martin Sheen, Ed Asner, Sean Penn, he said in 2009, I think we're past that point in human evolution where there's such a thing as winning wars. Ha! Tim Robbins, George Clooney, Janine Garofalo, Neil Young, Jessica Lange, Barbara Streisand, Danny Glover, Susan Sarandon, where are they? Where are we now that we don't need them? Where are they, now that we don't need them? The hypocrisy is so loud, you can hear it running from Beverly Hills to wherever. So, to show you what's going on in the media, you're listening to the Savage Nation, incidentally, the last word in talk radio. It's open mic to Mike Friday. Any topic is fair game, although I'm focused only on the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are dragging Obama and America into a war nobody wants in America, except, of course, the munitions manufacturers and the special interests in Turkey, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, to the best of my analysis. The American people don't want the war. Because A, they don't want to kill innocent Syrians. B, they're not sure the chemical weapons were used by Assad, since he had no reason to use them since he was winning the war. And the UN inspectors are on the ground, and the evidence is coming out that, in fact, it's fabricated, and that the weapons were used by the so-called rebels. And C, shall I go down the list why America opposes the war? How about the fact that we're bankrupt from Iraq and Afghanistan? So I go to the New York Post website to try to find one story on the war. This is Murdoch's tabloid, the New York Post, which I used to like. I would go on it every day for my horoscope. I can't even find my horoscope now. The New York Post changed they got a new webmaster who looks like he used to work for Obama. I went on the website to try and find one story about the war. Instead, I got entrapped by sexy pics of accused murderer Jody Arias. I didn't mean to. I was trying to find news about Syria, and I couldn't. It's at home news, okay? So I go to the home page, and you try to click to find news. The next thing I know, I'm looking at Jody Arias now. I can't even get out of it. The next page is Suri Cruz sobs after dropping her stuffed animal in New York City. This is Murdoch's. I can't believe it. Twisted new details in Hannah Anderson kidnapping. The skilled and seductive Kate Upton. This is the best Murdoch can do? I'm trying to find news on the New York Post. I can't. Here, I'm on homepage. Never miss a minute of pop culture, it says. There's not one word about war news. I'm in the Indian buffet this afternoon. Yes, I did it again. Twice in a week. It's a world record. I'm so anxiety struck from the war news. I'm so exhausted. I'm eating junk every day, so I eat Indian again. There's two middle-aged men, white men, talking about the war for a moment, and they say, well, we don't really care if bombs kill innocent Syrians. It's not our problem. The trick here is to get even with Assad. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Liberals have finally come out of the closet as the warmongers that underneath it all, they're insane. It's crazy. I can't get out of the sights. I'm going to get off it. I can't get out of that. I don't want to look at Jody Arias anymore. Sexy pics of accused murderer Jody Arias? I didn't want to go there. I promise you. I swear. Now I'm trapped. I can't even get onto another site. Did you ever, you know, this is getting crazy what the internet does to you. They pull you in and you can't get out of it. I have to close the computer down? I can't get to my site. I can't get to the Drudge Report. I'm out of business. I feel like a pilot trying to fly a plane and the radar computers went down. The internet is my radar. I'm running three screens at once. From 7 in the morning, I'm looking at it till my eyes are blind. I'm going blurry. I have vertigo from the computers, and I'm trapped now. And Jody Arias won't leave the computer. I need to get an IT tech here. Neil, can you get me an IT tech? Close her face down. The devil's face is staring at me. I can't get out of it. I swear to God. Okay, wait a minute. There must be a way out. Here we are. Hot pictures of Kaylee Cuoco. I swear, the top 10 most dangerous dogs, 15 most beautiful women in sports. Do you have any idea why America's filled with morons? Do you have any idea? Here's the lead story in the New York Post this afternoon. Naked man tasered to death was Gaga guard. This is the best Murdoch can give us? I'm getting off the site right now. Naked man tasered to death was Gaga guard. Gaga guard. That has a nice ring to it. Can't get out of that either. Here, I'm back to the SF Gate site. The other worthless site. Women. Well, this is a very sad story. Woman killed by city truck was a Zen monk. A nice woman. She goes to a park in San Francisco. She's lying on the lawn in the middle of the day with her baby and a dog, and this piece of garbage maintenance truck driver drives over and kills her. Can you believe this? And then flees the scene. People in the neighborhood had complained over and over again about the morons working for the Parks and Rec Department, saying they were speeding on the grass. They run over this girl, this woman, Christine Sfamia, a victim of him running. She's sleeping on the grass in the middle of the day, and she's a Zen monk, no less. It's unbelievable. You know, underneath the surface, you don't know what to make of these stories. It's awful. You ask yourself, how does life go on? How does life go on? How do you compute this? God punished her for what reason? The woman was lying with her baby and dog in the lawn. In the lawn? I guess the writer means on the lawn, but in San Francisco, that's the best we can get. This is the kind of journalist that they can still hire. It's like certain talkers. Zvana was lying with her baby and dog in the lawn? You don't lie in the lawn. You lie on the lawn. At Holly Park, when the driver of the city truck ran over shortly after 2 p.m., her baby and dog were okay, thank God. The driver, Thomas Bernoski, 57, was arrested on suspicion of vehicular manslaughter. Terrible story. I read those stories and I say, what is fate all about? What is fate all about? How do you justify a thing like this? What did she do wrong to be run over on a lawn? What did this woman do to be run over on a lawn, I ask myself? What, are you going to say God did it to her because she did something wrong? That's like when a Christian school bus turns over in Mississippi somewhere on the way to a camp, a Christian camp, and 13 children are killed. What, they were being punished for some reason? And then I read, wait, the same thing? Hitler's bodyguard dies yesterday, age 96. He lived to a ripe old age of 96 in Munich. You hear? Not a bad day in his life. Hitler's bodyguard lives to 96. This woman, a Zen monk, gets run over at 37. How do you explain that? God, yeah, God is all-knowing, God is good. So in other words, the Muslims who are running around cutting off people's heads and killing people all over the Middle East are doing it in the name of God? Oh, God. I'm sorry. I mean, well, oh, God. Yeah, oh, God. Let me have a cup of tea. The phone number is here, 855-7. What is the phone number? I forget it all the time. Does anyone know my number? Can they please call in and tell me what my phone number is? Here, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. It is Open Mic to Mike Friday. Any topic is fair game. Primarily war. I'm not going to ask you a war question. Hitler bodyguard Rokus Misch dies at 96. And here's a Zen monk gets run over on a lawn at age 35, lying there with a baby and dog. Rokus Misch lived to 96. Can anyone explain that to me? Is there a God-fearing person listening to the show who could tell me how they deal with that in this holy of holy weeks for so many people on the earth? Huh? Tell me why God did this to her. What did she do in a past life? She hurt a fly? She didn't let a fly out of the room, so she got killed at 35? And what, Rokas Mish let a fly out of the room in another life, so God let him live to a ripe old age of 96? Yeah, right. Now you understand why people listen to my show. See, I reflect the gestalt of everyone's mind. I reflect the gestalt of America's psyche. Me, I do that. I mean, Wallbanger can't do this. I don't blame him. He's a nice guy, I said to you. He's a nice young man. And if I were him, I'd recommend he leave radio and keep his TV gig. Later at night, he could do a midnight show, too. Wouldn't be so bad for him to come in late at night. You have a nice meal with the family. And he should run for office. Wallbanger should leave radio. You know, he had a nice run, made a lot of money. It's time for him to move on, dot him. And he could run. I would vote for him. I'd run his campaign if he ran for Senate in Florida. How much money does a man need? How much money does a man need promoting books and hairdos, mats, shoes, teeth, white cleaners? How much money do these people need? I like Rush Limbaugh stole my Paul Revere idea. I mean, I was the one who created the Paul Revere Society, if you remember, in 2002. Now he's what, Rush Revere? Great Rush. Way to go. Way to go, Rush. I like that. Rush Revere. Wow. It's not like I invented Paul Revere, but I did create the Paul Revere Society. Many of you still hold the cards. Incidentally, what will be next? Maybe one of the hosts will call himself Savage. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know what, Murdoch? I am so angry at Rupert Murdoch right now. I told you what happened. I went onto the New York Post website to look for a war story. I got trapped with Jody Arias' ugly face. I couldn't get out of it. My computer shut. It got a nervous breakdown. I went under the desk during the break. I unplugged the wrong computer. I unplugged my call screener computer. So I don't have one call on the left board. I have two black computers. I'm like a pilot flying a 747 or a 767, and all the screens just went dead on the airplane. You hear this? I have no calls and no stories. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The last word in talk radio. What would you like me to do? 855-407-282. We are flying by line of sight right now. Thank God that there's still some light out, and I can see the distant mountain peak I'm about to crash into. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, right. Live radio. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. The left screen is giving me a migraine. The right screen gave me like brain cancer already. Okay, Neil, give me a call. Any call. I don't care who. Just pick one. Scott on WMAL in Washington. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike. Okay, there are so many reasons why we should not be going to war with Syria. Just a couple. First of all, law of unintended consequences. We don't know how this will play out, just as we didn't know how Iraq would play out, because unfortunately we do have a lot of incompetent leaders. Secondly, today's friend is tomorrow's enemy. We don't even know who we really ultimately would be giving aid to.
We the people don't know, but Obama knows who he's helping. He's helping the Islamists. So, I mean, it's no mystery to the rest of the world who knows what he's doing. Anyone who studied this knows that he's giving weapons and aid and comfort to the enemy himself. Why would you give weapons to people who want to kill us?
Well, you certainly wouldn't do that. And lastly, and probably most importantly, we have no allies in this conflict. Who is our ally? What ally would we be giving military aid to?
Well, why then do you then ask yourself this question? Why are all of the institutional Jewish organizations supporting the war? Why is Marvin Chaya, AIPAC, every Israel group in America supporting this war? Tell me why. In other words, if Obama's backing Islamists, why does Israel want to go to war with them?
It's sick. I'm Jewish, and I happen to be, like, sickened by that. But
yeah, how come in a time like this, that it takes Pope Francis to say no war, talk it over, it should be peace, and not one major league Jewish organization said the same thing? Instead, they're screaming for blood. Explain that to me. It gets me sick.
can I just give you one word about faith? You asked about faith. I know I'm switching.
Yeah, no, I don't care. Go talk about faith. Where is God now that I need him?
If faith is even remotely connected to some type of divine entity, then by inference, implication, and definition, you and I can't possibly understand the mechanism that controls faith. No way. Faith for us is what we know happened after it happened.
So in other words, because I accidentally shut down both of my computers, that's fate?
No, that's happenstance.
God wants me to run the show now flying blind with no calls and no stories. God intervened because I got on my hands and knees during the break and shut everything down. All right, thanks for the call. Well, I guess the computer inside my ears is still working. That's the main thing. Maybe that's the next thing to go. You know, that could have been worse. God, maybe you just gave me a warning saying I hold the power to your power. He said I can shut the lights out anytime I want. You think I don't know that? Every breath I take is like a mystery to me. Every breath is a mystery to me. Would you believe that? Okay, well, I'm that kind of spiritual person. I consider each breath somewhat miraculous. It is the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. I know most of you want to talk about Syria. We'll be back in a moment. I got to look at the clock, but I don't have a clock. I have no idea what our altitude is. I don't know whether we're flying upside down. I was once in an airplane in Fiji. Let me tell you that story. The pilot lost all of his instrumentation. It was a small one-engine jump from Nandi to Suva in a rainstorm. It turned dark outside. I didn't know if he was flying upside down or right side up. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
100 of them were children. This is not something we've fabricated. This is not something that we are looking, are using as an excuse for military action. As I said last night, I was elected to end wars, not start them.
Well, that's right. You were elected because you said you would end wars, not to end wars, because the first thing you did, Mr. Obama, was send 30,000 fresh troops to Afghanistan. And yet the morons voted for you anyway. The crazy liberals who believe they're intelligent didn't even notice. Now, there is evidence coming out of many sources, including Christian nuns, saying that this entire event of the gassing was fabricated and staged, incidentally. That's number one. Number two, nobody knows how so many children were lined up so quickly and laid to rest in front of sheets for the American, for the world press to see. Nobody knows that. And yet Obama just hinted that it's fake. He said, this is not something we fabricated. Something I will tell you about pathological liars is that they usually tell you that they're lying without knowing they're telling you they're lying. Something is very wrong. Russia will help Syria if USA attacks. They're sending more naval ships to the coast. And let me tell you something. It's not the rust bucket Navy that it was 15 years ago after the fall of the Soviet Union. They've been making a lot of money on their oil, gas, minerals, and they put a lot of it back into the military. Their ships look quite good to me. Is this what you want? Is this what you psychopathic liberals want? Is a world war? What the hell is wrong with you? You know, when this all started, I read to you The Guns of August, 1917. I told you the parallels to the beginning of World War I, with the exception of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, are overwhelming. The parallels are shocking. There was a book called The Guns of August. It was a bestseller when I was a youngster. And I've since studied the beginning of World War I, and it was a war that nobody seemed to really want. It started quite by accident. It was one big nation threatening another. The other nation didn't want to be pushed around. They reluctantly reacted. Then nations came in on the sides of the other nations, and before long, 3 million Englishmen were dead, 3 million Germans were dead, and millions of French were dead, and millions of Turks were dead. Do you understand what could happen here? Is the human race this stupid? I'm not this stupid. I read my Santayana in college. Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. I read my history. I'm trying to give it to you. We see World War I, in part, repeating itself all over again. Only this time it's not about the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. This time it's about the gassing of some poor innocent people in Syria. which even if it happened, is not a pretext for America to launch a world war, because other people will die. So you're telling me the way you stop this is how, by killing people? Look, I said to you before, to use the Holocaust analogy is a blasphemy of the lowest order, of the highest order, excuse me. For Jews to use the Holocaust is a shame of shames. Are there any Jewish people listening to this show who had liberal rabbis get up there last night at the Rosh Hashanah service and dare say we should go to war in Syria? I'd like you to call the show, because every Catholic in this country is going to be told this Sunday, because they have a legitimate, decent pope, that war is not the answer. Now suddenly the Jews, the peace-loving Jews, are the warmongers, and the Catholics are against the war? How'd that happen? How could the Jewish people be whipped into a war frenzy? How is it possible? Are the idiots in the rabbinate so tied into their politics that they can't even see their own Torah? Do they know what a Torah is? How long has it been since these liberal rabbis read the Bible or read the Torah? It takes more than pointing with a silver finger. Read what you make the boys learn, you idiots, you. Yeah, this is my pulpit. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. Call up one of your organizations and tell them that I'm saying bad things about you. Go ahead, see if I care. Shame on all of you. Every synagogue in America should be doing what every church is going to be doing this Sunday, which is say no war. Sit down and talk. That's what the Bible teaches us, peace, not war. The president is wrong. That's what every synagogue should be teaching its congregations tomorrow and last night. But they didn't, did they? No, they didn't. So it takes Pope Francis, to get up and say no war. He's taking on the president of the United States. He doesn't want war. It's not unusual that popes are against war and for peace. But it's quite unusual that he would stand out like this and put his neck out like this to try and stop this war before it's too late. So if you'd like to comment, it's 855-7282. It's Friday night. It's 22 minutes to 7. Am I a little too vulgar for you, too rough? Is my voice a little too harsh? Are you lonely tonight? What can I tell you? What can I tell you? You want to hear something funny? Let me take a call. Marcus on WFDM, I think it's in Indiana. Is that in Indiana? Yes, Indiana. Marcus, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'd like to thank you for, you always pay homage to the rough men in society that protect us from the cutthroats. You know, I think you refer to them as the wolfhounds.
Mm-hmm.
Former combat medic, that means a lot, doctor.
Yeah, well, you are the wolfhounds. And if without the wolfhounds, we'd be devoured by the Muslim wolves.
It's absolutely. And it just amazes me that, you know, the girls would like to turn us in geldings, except for when they need us to do their bidding in places like...
Oh, the girls who've taken over the military, who were screaming about 2 weeks ago sexual abuse in the military. Now all of a sudden the men they were trying to emasculate, they suddenly need them to drop bombs. Let the girls drop the bombs!
Absolutely.
Put all the fraudulent generals into the airplanes. Put the fakers in skirts into the bombers.
Absolutely, doctor. The men with tattoos on their arms and machine guns that go to war against the cutthroats every day.
Put the girls in their skirts, all the fake generals. Put them in the airplanes.
Yeah, see how well they'll do without a hairdresser.
I'm sick. I'm sick from this. It's getting me ill. It's getting me ill. I can't take it anymore. Thanks for the call. You know, I got to tell you something. You know, I wrote two novels, right? And I'm very proud of them. I wrote Abuse of Power with Jack Hatfield, and the second one was A Time for War. Jack Hatfield's the main character. And a number of you have taken to the character, and he's kind of, you know, 50,000, 100,000 people have read the books, and they like Jack. They can't wait to see the third novel. I'm working on the third novel. It'll be out next year. I'm not selling you a book. But I'm working on the character, and I've invented a new character for the book as a foil for some of my beliefs. So the editor sent me back a note saying, do you want him to be this rough? Do you want him to say these things? And what shocks me is most of the things I'm having this new character say are the things I say myself in private. So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. What I'm saying in private is too rough for an editor? I put it into a character. Do you understand what I'm saying, what you have to do when you're writing a novel? You have to divide pieces of yourself up into the characters. And if you're a less stable person than I am, you go to pieces altogether. and you become a politician. You take Prozac and you run for office with one main character in your face. Of course, Shakespeare had at least 32 different horses running through his brain. Yeah. That's why you should never use marijuana or any other psychedelic drugs, young people. Young people, listen to old Savage. I'm giving you a hint. You will never, ever regret what I am telling you. If you're a dummy and you have a low IQ, go ahead, use the marijuana. It might raise your IQ from a single string banjo to, let's say, a dual string banjo. But if you were blessed with a violin for a mind and a good violin, why would you want to resonate those strings out of key? What would you want to put poison into your head for? Why? Why? Those drugs are made for stupid people, dummies. They're made for idiots who don't have an imagination. They need drugs. If you're blessed with an imagination and a mind, you don't need drugs. It's for the dummies, the morons who are dull. They don't have an original thought in their head. They think if they get stoned, suddenly they're having an original thought. They're not. They're just getting more stupid. But the main point is that if you have a violin between your ears, don't muck up the strings with marijuana. They'll all go out of tune. All of them. None of them play right after you do this to your violin too often. Oh, boy, what a job I have. Four Russian ships head for Syria. Interfax. Associated Press. Three Russian naval ships were sailing towards Syria in the eastern Mediterranean on Friday, and a fourth was on its way. The Interfax news agency reported, citing a source at Navy headquarters. So what are the liberals saying? Good, good, good. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let them shoot them down, too. Go ahead. Drop the bombs on them, too. I saw them the other night, Wednesday. I wanted to break the television. Some Jewish organization in Washington, skinny neck guy. Okay, let me let it out on the table. Go ahead. Get him really mad at me. See if I care. Six guys, the bunch of them never shot a Daisy BB gun. Not one of them. All of a sudden, well, we give them 45 days like we did Saddam, or 10 days. You know, Mark, how many? I'd give him 10. And then what? Well, if he doesn't do it, the bombs fall, the bombs drop. I said, this is what they're doing? Who is the schmuck? I look at a former Undersecretary of State under George Bush. So these are the schmucks who were advising Bush. These are the guys who were put in there to push Bush into Iraq. Do you understand how dangerous this is? Do you have any idea who's advising Obama? The same people who advised Bush. Do you have any idea there's a single government running both parties? Do you have any idea, I've been right all these years I've been on radio, that we have a one-party system with two-card Monty? Well, you do know now. Even Wallbanger suddenly attacks Republicans these days. He realizes where the money shot is. After going to the White House and shining Bush's shoes and coming back broadcasting from Bush's bathroom, came back broadcasting from Bush's bathroom. Oh, yeah, gung-ho on Iraq. Oh, I'm gung-ho. Go, go, go. Ooh, I'm Wallbanger. Go, go, Georgie. Liberate the Shiites. I heard this for years on his show. Now all of a sudden he's anti-Republican because they're not in power. He's turning on them. Everywhere suddenly he's turning. It's fashionable to be an independent. Limbaugh ripped off the Revere thing. Now he's Rush Revere. Great. Good job, Rush, with the point he had. Great. Great children's book. I love it. Rush Revere. I guess his next book could be Rush Savage. That wouldn't be a bad book. Okay, whatever. It's a big world. Not everyone has my gifts, okay, so I have to be a little kinder. That's all. That's simple. Holy man once said that to me. I was stuck teaching in a junior college with the stupidest people I ever met in my life. The girls had beehive hairdos. Here I was with a PhD from Berkeley, and I couldn't get a job because I was a white male. You know, that was a born to be condemned, you know, at that time. They were only hiring others. PhD, almost an A index, book after book. The best job I could get was teaching in a junior college. The girls all had beehive hairdos. They looked like they were either Sopranos, like ready knits and the crosses and the jewelry on the neck. They were doing their nails during science. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they were nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, doc. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That kind of thing. And with the legs crossed, the skirt. I said, okay, I can't take another day of this. I can't. This is what millions of years of evolution to teach Soprano's daughter in a junior college about biology? Yeah, with 4-inch heels. How are my nails looking, huh? Hey, Anthony, you like my nails? I mean, it was unbelievable to me. So I got very frustrated. So I went to a holy man about it. So I said, why has God done this to me? I can't take it anymore. So he said to me, if you're put in a position where you're given the opportunity to teach people who don't have your education or even your intelligence, then teach them. That's where God wants you. And I calmed down for like 2 years after that. Once I accept fate, I'm good at it. You know what I'm saying? Once you realize that that's it, you live with it. It's that simple. It's like one day you wake up and your foot doesn't work, so you live with a bum foot. You don't curse fate for giving you a bum foot, right? Isn't that the way it is? Say, that's it. Like Freud, didn't Freud say? Yes, Freud said. You didn't read Freud. I read all of Freud. Freud said that if one day you wake up and find out that you can only that you only have one arm and one leg, what you do is, he said, you crawl on the good arm and the good leg. That's what Freud said. Now, of course, modern psychiatry has rejected Freud for some reason. I guess he wasn't heavily enough into medication for the modern, behaviorists. But I always liked that one. All of us basically are crawling with on one arm and one leg. We're all psychic cripples in one way or the other. Do you understand that? You think you're really a whole person? What, because you went to Woodstock and laid in the mud? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is...
It is the Savage Nation. So the question is God. Where is God? It's a very, very holy time for Jews around the world, and yet the liberal Jews are calling for war, while the Catholics are calling for peace. The rabbis who are afraid of a BB gun or a backfire are calling for bombing Syria, by and large. The organized Jewish groups, bombing, bombing, bombing. This is at a time of Rosh Hashanah. It's hard for you to believe this is going on in your lifetime. It's like a madness has pervaded the land. It's almost as though Obama is some kind of Merlin who can completely hoodwink people into going against their best instincts. It's beyond belief. So, as I say, I want to go back on a personal level. You wind up with a bad foot, you live with a bad foot. That's all. You hobble around till it gets better, or the doctors can help you, or whatever. You learn to live with it, whatever you want to do. You don't say, oh, why do I have a bad foot? That's how life is set up to be. So I told you, and I got to, this is very personal. I have to tell you again that God's hand is very deeply involved in my radio career. I've got to tell it to you again. I do this every few months or years. This comes up. I'll tell it tonight, and I'll close the door on it. I won't bring it up again for a very long time, I believe. I had other careers. I reached a certain age. All doors closed to me. The career I chose was not open to me because I was a white male. They were not hiring white males, period. I didn't know what to do. I had two young children, so I wound up doing other things. I was a corporate consultant. I was an author. I made a good living. I didn't get rich, but I worked very hard. I made a good living. That's what God wanted. He didn't want me in the university. Thank God, by the way. I didn't know it at the time. I wouldn't have lasted. The monsters who have taken over academia would have destroyed me. They would have set me up and destroyed me the way they're killing military men who are Christians, for example. Here's a senior master sergeant, Philip Monk, a Christian serving in the Air Force, whose unit was taken over by a lesbian. Monk was relieved of duty because his commander said told him to say he supports gay marriage. He said, I don't support gay marriage. Here's a commander, a senior master sergeant, fired by the lesbian. Now the Air Force is going after him on a court-martial for talking to the media about his situation. And this is the same Air Force now that they want to bomb Syria. So you can't understand these things, can you? So anyway, I did other things. Then almost 20 years ago this March, I sent out tapes to 500 radio stations. I told you how I began. Local stations, four stations said, hey, you're pretty good, blah, blah, blah. One was in Boston. One was in San Francisco. And I forget where the others were. So I went and got a job locally in San Francisco at that time on KSFO, no less. No, actually, I started on KGO in an overnight slot. Then I was offered a full-time job on KSFO, and I took it. And I had to leave all of my past behind me. And then one thing led to another. People stood in my way from the day I began. They tried to put stumbling blocks in my way. They tried to get me fired. Everybody in that station, from the engineers on, were sabotaging my show. People hated me because I was a conservative in a psychopathic liberal city and a psychopathic liberal media. They're all out of radio now, from the top to the bottom. I swear to God, everyone who opposed me is gone from radio. I'm still here. Say, okay, God, so God's on your side. I don't know. Now, let me tell you something else. So I'm with another radio operation until last year. I was involved in a lawsuit for 2 years. They try to keep me in a contract illegitimately, in my estimation. The courts upheld it. The arbitration upheld it. The courts upheld it. I got to tell you something. God acted again. But here's what happened. I left that a year ago, almost a year ago this October. I left that other situation. I walked out overnight after I won. I had nothing. Nothing. I got to tell you, I had nothing. Nothing. And within 3 weeks, I was back on the radio in this slot because somebody up there likes me. But you know what the second part of that story is? God said, okay, I'm going to part the Red Sea for you again, Savage. But you're going to work your behind off. You're going to work at night. You're going to start all over again at your age. I said, okay, go for it. Here I am. Why? Because God wants to keep me in line.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Great balls of fire.
It is The Savage Nation. It is better to rely on God than to trust in man. It is better to rely on God than to trust in politicians. Yay, amen. Amen. The Bible wrote about politicians and princes and nobles. They were slimy then, and they're slimy now. So the question is, speaking of snail-like behavior, if Congress says no, which it looks like it will Obama be the dictator he's always been in his heart and go it alone, meaning you use your sons and daughters, mainly your sons, to bomb Syria for God knows what reason? Obama sets national address on Syria on Tuesday. Tuesday, he's going to give another national address. He's going to try and sell it. But the longer this goes on, the more people come to understand that this may not be what we're being told it is. You know, where's the long-term strategy here? What's the outcome? Tell me what the outcome is. Is it good? There's no way this is good. There's no good outcome here. Let me take some calls. We're talking about that. We're talking about a local incident here in San Francisco. A 35-year-old woman, a Buddhist monk, nice, looks like a nice lady, is relaxing on a park lawn with her baby and her dog, and a park worker speeds over her in a park truck and kills her. Baby's alive, the dog's alive, the woman's dead. So I asked, tell me how you compute that. What did she do, something in the last life to get run over on a lawn? And the guy who ran her over, why was he given the faith to run her over? How does that work? See, this is where it gets very difficult. The God thing gets very touchy at points like this. Now, I've answered it for my own self, so I'll let you do the struggle with it if you want. 855-407-2282 is the Savage Nation. And this is what's galling me today. This is the big goal. The big goal. Here's the big goal. Here's what I'm really galled by. I'm starting to sound like the senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders. He has a really bad accent. He makes me sound like I speak the King's English. How did he get elected in Vermont? He has such a heavy Brooklyn. And boy, did he hoodwink the people in Vermont. There are no people in Vermont. Bernie Sanders from Brooklyn, the only open socialist in the Senate. He goes up there with the heavy Brooklyn accent. How did he get elected? Answer, most of the people in his district came from Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan, and they were retired college teachers on a pension. Where's Bernie Sanders now? Is he anti-war? Or is he going to authorize a strike on Assad? Pope takes on Obama. Francis warns military strike would be futile. Calls all Catholics to pray and fast. This is on the top of Drudge. So now the Pope becomes my hero. The Pope is now the religious man. CatholicHerald.co.uk. Pope calls all Catholics to pray and fast for Syria on Saturday. You hear this? On Saturday, Pope Francis will lead thousands in St. Peter's Square in a prayer vigil for peace. St. Ignatius is being attacked by CBS News for calling for peace. How is it that the Catholics are calling for peace and the Jewish leadership is calling for war? How did that turnabout occur? How? Where did the Jews miss the boat here? What happened? Time like this, Rosh Hashanah? 1,000 rabbis are on a conference call with Obama last week, and they're all sitting there eating his slop, and they go and tell the sheeple in the synagogues, we need to bomb Syria for what reason? To kill more people? I ask myself these questions morning and night. God bless the Pope. He said he condemned the use of chemical weapons with utmost firmness. He said those terrible images from recent days are burned into my mind and heart. But he also said a judgment of God and also a judgment of history upon our actions are inescapable. But here's what the Pope said. Maybe Rabbi Chaya can understand this. Maybe Marva Chaya and the ADL can learn something from the Pope. Here's what he said. He said a judgment of God and also a judgment of history upon our actions are inescapable. Then he said, quote, never has the use of violence brought peace in its wake. War begets war. Violence begets violence. Well, the Jewish Bible taught him that. Christians learn from the Jewish Bible. They admit that. Educated Christians understand that. Educated Christians know where Christianity derives. They understand that. They understand that. They have no problem with Isaiah. When Isaiah wrote those things, which I'll read again, and he shall judge between the nations and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That was not written by a liberal college professor in the Vietnam era. It was written by Isaiah in ancient times. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. So we heard this over and over again during the Vietnam War. All of the Quakers were out crying on college campuses. Where are the Quakers today? Why are the Quakers not out there crying with their posters? Where are they? Where they go to sleep also? The day I see a Quaker out there with calling for wars, I'll know that the nation is finished. The day I wake up and I see Quakers standing around with signs saying, honk if you want bombs to drop on Damascus, is the day I know that the world is over. That the whole world has been brainwashed by this Satan-like event going on, this Satan-like thing going on in the world. There's some Satan-like creature slithering through the psyche of the world. I think, therefore I am. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, this is not a caveat to never fight back. If a nation is attacked, kill them. Kill them. They threaten us, destroy them, annihilate them. They attack our interests, kill them. Kill them in their mother's house. But they're not attacking you. What the heck is going on here? When did America's military become a Hessian force? Oh, under George Bush. Iraq 1, Hessian force. That was for the Kuwaitis. That was a little payback. Iraq 2 was for the Saudis. Now what? Again, the Hessians have to go out there again? I mean, do you understand what's going on here? And on top of it, all the country's bankrupt. You know, I know you don't think so. You can still buy anything you want. You know, the cars are in the showroom and whatever. The money is not real. There's no fundamentals to our currency. We were decimated by Iraq and Afghanistan. How much did the Iraq war cost? $3 trillion? How much did we get back from the Iraqis for liberating them from Saddam? Zero. Zero. Not a barrel of oil. We could have gotten oil. We could have taken it. We could have said, all right, Johnson, we've relieved you of Saddam. You got the third largest proven oil reserves in the world. We're pumping. And you're not going to do anything about it. Our ships are there. We're pumping out. That's it. We're taking back in reparations what we gave you to liberate you. That's it. We didn't. Why? Because the Seven Sister Oil Companies wanted to arbitrarily keep the prices up. So now, okay, we used to see the signs. No war for oil. Remember the bumper stickers in Iraq? All of the sanctimonious libs. No war for oil. No war for oil. All the over the hill hippie girls. No war for oil. And they found a new love. It was like sexuality to them. They were excited. It's like the No Keystone XL pipeline. It's like a reverse phallic thing for them. The pipeline. I don't want to get into that. It's too Freudian. But no war for oil. No war for oil. How about no war for gas? No war for gas. No war for gas. The anti-war movement is building in America, primarily from anti-war conservatives such as myself. It's going to become an avalanche if they keep this up. These bums went back to their districts and they got ripped like that crazy man. The crazy man belongs in a nut house, McCain. Everyone's saying to me, you know, war, no war, but they, no one can understand if McCain's actually sane. They want to know, was he destroyed by the Vietnamese? Was he always crazy? How do I know? The man looks and sounds nuts. He could, he's not, this is not about just senility or stupidity. This is craziness. He goes to home to Arizona, he gets ripped. Neil, play the second one where a woman rips him. Play that one.
Yes, ma'am. You are very eager.
You can do it by diplomacy and negotiation, not bombs, Senator McCain. We cannot afford to shed more Syrian blood. Personally speaking, I have a cousin who is 18 years old, just was killed 10 days ago by the so-called rebels and Al-Qaeda. And they're not Syrian. They're coming to Syria from all over the world to fight this. We cannot afford to do that. We cannot afford to turn Syria into another Iraq.
And what dummy say? Nothing. Sat there. Sat there, dummy sat there. Whoa, my goodness. Now he lies to the people in clip 8 and says there'll be an impeachment if Obama puts boots on the ground. Yeah, puss in boots. Let's listen to puss in boots in clip 8.
The fact is that Bashar Assad has massacred 100,000 people. The conflict is spreading.
One.
The Russians are all in and the Iranians are all in. And it's an unfair fight. And no one wants American boots on the ground. Nor will there be American boots on the ground because there would be a impeachment of the president if they did that.
Maybe there'd be no boots on the ground. I mean, the Russians are all in. There's no Russian troops on the ground, Schmendrick. The Iranians haven't even started. They're sending weapons the way you're sending weapons. They're not all in. This is a proxy war between Iran and the United States. Possibly Iran, Russia, and the United States. It's a proxy war, obviously. And Syria is now, unfortunately, the proving ground for this proxy war. Just as there were some unfortunate nations on the prelude to World War II who were proxy nations for the war that was brewing between Germany and the United States and Britain. And one of those proxy nations was decimated. One of the regions in one of those proxy nations was a very famous bombing run for Hitler's Stuka bombers, which I've told you before. It was called Guernica in the Basque country. I have some Basque friends. And to them, if you say Guernica, they never forgot that because they looked up and Germany was testing its new fighter bomber called the Stuka, which flew over the Basque country and destroyed an entire big town called Guernica. I don't know how many people were killed, but it was Hitler practicing for the coming war. Do you want me to make the parallel that Obama wants to practice his bombing runs on Syria to get ready for Iran? Doesn't it turn your stomach? What kind of nation are we? What have we become? Have we sunk this low? Answer it yourself and give me a call. I'll be back, 855-407-2282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm not drawing an analogy to World War II, other than to say, when London was getting bombed, it was profoundly unpopular, both in Congress and around the country, to help the British. Doesn't mean it wasn't the right thing to do.
I ever hear a president talk like this? I never heard anything like this. I don't know who's advising him. Well, I do. The four horsewomen in the apocalypse. And all their analogies are distorted and false. He says, I'm not drawing an analogy to World War II. Then he draws an analogy to World War II. This is such classic doublespeak. It's beyond comprehension. The only one who's making sense in the whole world is the Pope. Pope calls all Catholics to pray and fast for Syria on Saturday. God bless him. God bless him. People should go to a Catholic church tomorrow, whatever their religion is, and make a donation to a Catholic church. God bless the Pope. God bless the Pope. God bless the Pope. The Pope is calling for peace, not war. The Pope is asking thousands in St. Peter's Square to a prayer vigil of peace for tomorrow. He wants peace. He doesn't want war. He wants talk, not bombs. It's unbelievable. According to the news agency of the Congregation for the Evangelization of People, Syria's Grand Mufti Ahmed Badreddin Hassoun, leader of the country's Sunni Muslims, has approached the papal nuncio in Damascus, Syria, with a request to attend the Rome vigil. Can you believe this? Then this is becoming a great pope. Obama, on the other hand, is like a warmonger. Military strikes not to defend America. Military strikes for no reason other than to punish the government of Syrian President Bashar Assad, which the U.S. blames for a chemical weapons attack that reportedly killed, well, according to what I've read, 350 people. They now have escalated to 1,400. Now, you have to understand, 100,000 people have been killed in this civil war, but not all by Assad's forces. The civil war, you're going to hear Assad killed 100,000 people. Again, Obama's lying. That's a big lie. 100,000 have estimated to have been killed, but that's from both sides. That's from both sides. Rebel forces and Assad's government have killed more than 100,000 people, driven 2 million refugees out of Syria, and displaced another 4.5 million inside the country. It's a major league human disaster. But Assad was just winning. He had finally beaten back the Al-Qaeda rebels and the 1,000 other groups that are still associated with the opposition. And all of a sudden, they come up with a chemical attack, and they say he did it. Now, if you were winning a war that had been going on for years, and the UN inspectors were on the ground in Syria at that time, would you launch a chemical attack and kill people so the world would turn against you? Of course you wouldn't. There would be no reason for you to do it. None. So therefore, you have to ask, who did it? Well, many people are saying they think the rebels did it and staged it or did it themselves. Wouldn't be the first time they killed their own people. Wouldn't be the first time they've used it for propaganda purposes. They've done it before. Remember the incident during the war in Lebanon when the left-wing press said that the Jews had in Israel had killed a Palestinian child? It took a year and a half to prove definitively that they staged the shooting of the child. Staged it. Now, you forgot that. I don't forget these things. I'm paid not to forget these things. It has been said all is fair in love and war. That would include killing your own people, I guess, to some, and staging the deaths to some. It would include lying to some in America who say that 100,000 people have been killed by Assad, which is completely wrong. Completely wrong. So 100,000 have died, by an estimate, on both sides of this crazy civil war. How many died in the American Civil War? How many people died in the American Civil War? Does anyone know the number? Quite a few, huh? Quite a few. So humanity is at stake here. And unfortunately, we're seeing Obama's true nature here, which is that of a warmonger. The Pope, God bless him, is a man of peace. Where have the Jewish leaders gone? Where have all the anti-war liberals gone? Where is Sean Penn? Where is Sheryl Crow? Where is Ed Asner? Where are these frauds and phonies?
Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday, and we have no rock and roll. And you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the obvious. There's nothing else to talk about. People are dying, and I guess the liberal idea is to kill more for peace. In other words, in order to have peace, you've got to kill more people. Everything is reversed now. The world is upside down. I'm an anti-war conservative, and they're a pro-war liberal socialist. Go figure. I guess whatever Obama wants, Obama gets. You know, Obama reminds me of the old joke of the husband. The wife comes home, and the husband's cheating on her, and he's in bed with another woman to be vulgar. It won't be vulgar. And the guy looks up at the wife and says, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? It's as though this man, whatever he wants of these moronic liberals, he gets out of them. Oh, I'm an anti-war man, but I'm going to go to war. I was elected to stop wars, not start them. And in order to stop the war, I'm going to start one. Oh, hey, come to Hollywood. Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg will raise another $10 million for you. Whatever you want, you can do no wrong. You want war, you got war. We'll call it peace. War is peace. Love is hate. It's right out of everything that we ever read in the 60s about a dictatorship is happening under your eyes. You fools, you. You idiots, you brainwashed idiots. Everything we learn from the greatest writers of our time is happening right under your noses, and you don't even know it. Why? Well, for one, he's not a white male, so therefore he must be good. That's number one. Number two, because he's not wearing a swastika on his sleeve, he must not be a fascist. Oh, okay. Because he gives you the peace sign, he must love peace. It's like your neighbor who has a peace sign painted on the curb, who's the most hateful SOB you ever met. It's like a senior in a supermarket who bangs into you with a shopping cart and almost takes your hand off. But because he's a senior, he couldn't have done it to you. Because he's a nice old man. Well, what's the point of talking like this? You know, I lit a candle to my dead father yesterday. It was his memory, Memorial Day. Died in 1970, Benjamin. And it was his day of remembrance. I lit the candle last night as I went on the radio. And I have it in my radio studio. And you know what? The candle is flickering right now. It's been almost 24 hours. The candle's going to go out. So what is the point of lighting a memorial candle? There's so many meanings to it for a deceased relative, a parent in particular, especially a father to a son. Especially the kind of father I had and the kind of father-son relationship I had. It was biblical. It was really rough. It was psychological NFL wrestling, he and I. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to say he did it because he knew it was best for me. Some it was, some of it wasn't. Some of it was straight out, something else. But God bless him, you don't speak ill of the... So I lit the candle's flickering right now. It's coming to the end of this hour, the candle is like right near out. The wax is almost gone. I'm looking at the picture of him with me and my sister and my father when he's a young man. And so many things come to your mind. Amongst them is, what are you killing yourself for? He says, they're speaking to me from heaven. He says, what are you yelling about? He's saying to me from heaven, what are you getting so worked up over the war? Can you stop these lunatics? And I say to him, Dad, this is my finest moment. I said, Dad, don't you understand? There's got to be a reason for living. This is my raison d'être, Dad. He didn't speak French. But do you understand that my life has meaning because I'm trying to stop a disaster from happening? And he says, well, but you won't succeed. What are you knocking yourself out for, he says. Why don't you take it easy? I can hear it as though he's in the room. He would say to me, what are you killing yourself for? He said, I'll use the word he would use. I can't use it on the radio. You could figure it out. Starts with a B and ends with an S. And actually, it's not bad, the two letters. He said, these BSs are going to do what they want to do anyway for reasons that have nothing to do with what they're saying. They'll burn a nation to the ground for power and money. They'll kill a million people for power and money. They've done it before. They'll do it again. And they'll hoodwink tens of millions of morons who think they're doing it for reasons that have nothing to do with why they're doing it. So what are you getting yourself involved? What are you screaming about? What are you killing yourself for? So what should I do, Dad? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to move to Florida, put on the white hat and be forgotten? I can't do it. I'm so far in, there's no way out of this, I would say to him. I'm too deeply into this. I believe too strongly in what I see to be silent. And the Pope is a man in his 70s, Dad. He's an old man, and he's stepping into this lion's den. He's stepping before some of the worst people the planet has seen in 75 years, and he's calling all Catholics to pray and fast for Syria on Saturday, Dad. So he said, well, you're not the Pope. I know, but there's a bit of God in all of us, Dad. There's a bit of the decent man in all of us, Dad. And if all of us acted like the Pope, there'd be no war. There'd be no unnecessary murder and killing of innocent Syrian people. See, Dad, if the bombs start falling, which the paper commander-in-chief, the paper commander-in-chief wants the bombs to fall, he said that they're going to be a surgical and proportional bombing, Dad. So Dad, what do you mean surgical? And so I never heard of that. He says to me from heaven, what do you mean surgical and proportional? How can you do that, Michael? I don't know, but the Holy One in the White House says that he's got special bombs that are not going to kill anybody. They're just going to kill buildings, bad, evil chemical buildings. And the bombs are going to search out the bomb makers. And they're not going to touch one innocent Syrian man, woman, or child, Dad? Really? How do you know that? Well, the president told us that. Oh, I see. Special bombs were made for him. Special bombs are made by the Pentagon that's been decimating itself for the last 2.5 years. First, Leon Panetta cut the military's legs off. 2 years, we heard, no bombs, no war, we don't need a military, put the lesbians in charge of the men who could fly the planes, and then tell them what to do. Now, all of a sudden, the men who fly the planes are being called back from the court-martials, being told, hey, schmuck, fly the plane now. We're calling off the court-martial. Go fly the plane and drop bombs. So, wow, so they decimate the military for 2-3 years, cut the legs off. Leon Panetta did his job and went back to his little college in Monterey. Now they bring in Hagel the Bagel, unqualified at any speed to be defense secretary. What was his job? To make sure that they bring up the false canard of sexual assault in the military. Remember that? That was as near as 2 months ago. Full court press, sexual assault in the military at epidemic levels. Well, they redefine sexual assault. Hey, honey, you're cute, sexual assault. Hey, babe, you want to go on a date after work tonight? Sexual assault. What's that all about? To make sure the military answers to the women in the Congress. That's all. Take it away from the military men. You haven't heard much about that recently, have you? Now all of a sudden, oh, no, there's no sexual assault. We need you guys. Now fly the planes. Yeah, get in the planes. Here's your toys back. Here are the keys to the car. Here's the keys to your B-1s, your B-2s. They're talking about using B-1 bombers, Dad. B-1 bombers, Michael? Yeah, B-1s and B-2s. They're going to fly them out of Diego Garcia, wherever. How could they do that? Well, no, the B-2s, Dad, are going to come out of Missouri. They're going to do a nonstop round trip, and they're going to drop surgical bombs that are guaranteed not to kill one innocent Syrian, Dad. Well, how could that be? They're coming out of Missouri, and they know exactly where to drop a bomb where it won't kill one innocent Syrian? That's what the president said, Dad. Why should I doubt him? He's an honest man, and he's not a white man. He can't be a liar. As you well know, anyone who's not a white man is an honest man, a good man, a better man than anyone else. And he was elected to make peace, not war, Dad. So I'm convinced he's gonna do a peaceful bombing. It's going to be a good bombing. It's going to be a very, almost a humanitarian bombing, is what it is, Dad. Also, so the B-2s are coming out of Missouri, Michael? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where are the B-1s coming from? I really don't know. I know, flying out of Cyprus or something. Oh, really? No kidding. What else? Oh, the F-A-18 Hornets that we have on the aircraft carrier. Well, they're going to be standing by. What for? Some strafing runs or bombing runs. But they're also, they've also been redesigned so that none of the weapons, none of the ordnance on the FA-18 Hornets that can hit any innocent Syrian. Yeah, but Michael, what if they put the weapons in a civilian area, as is done in most wartime, especially when you have 3 weeks to prepare? Well, it's a special bomb. It was created by a special man in the White House. And when the bomb falls in the neighborhood where the weapons, where the chemicals are, even if it hits a nursery, you won't see it because it won't be reported by the liberals in the press. How do you know that, Michael? Well, because when Bill Clinton did his surgical proportional bombing run against Serbia, he wiped out every bridge on the Danube River and not one picture ever appeared anywhere in any press source in the whole world. How come? Because the press didn't exist, Dad. It was destroyed a long time ago. Oh, so you mean it's not like in my times, Michael, when you had a vigorous press that opposed vicious fascists at every turn, no matter what disguise they used? With screaming headlines? You mean you don't have screaming headlines anymore saying fascist president dragging country to war? No, Dad. No, we don't have the press anymore. It disappeared. When did the press disappear? Oh, I don't know, Dad. Shortly after you died, around 1970, 71. When the old guys died off and they started replacing them with the morons that they were feeding into the feeder institutes, the little brainwashing academies called the University of California School of Journalism, the Columbia School of Journalism, they put out sausages with no brains. Sausages they ground out. Government media complex, I called it, Dad. Well, that was way past my time. I didn't hear that speech. I was already somewhere else, son. So, Dad, you understand that it's not like it was in your time. You get it? Yeah, I guess you're right, Michael. I guess you got to keep doing this. I guess if you don't, who will? I guess, Dad, there are others doing it. The Pope is doing it. I got to do it. God calls, you answer, Dad. And you hope at the end you're rewarded for it in some way. Well, Michael, I got to tell you something. You are. I'll be right back, folks.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I play Mozart's Requiem now for all of the dead that are about to appear on the fields of Syria because of the warmonger, the crazed Roman senator, the crazed Roman emperor in the White House. A bloodbath is about to occur. I've told you in 1914, it started with a spark in the Balkans. And then all of a sudden it was Britain, France, Germany, Austria, Hungary, Russia, America, Italy, Turkey, drawn into World War I. Millions died. Why? Because of leaders like Obama. Leaders like Obama. Emperors detached from reality, dragging their nations into disaster. We belong there? Shiite Alawites against Sunni Wahhabites? Muslims against Christians? Islamic murderers against Arab secularists? That's where we belong? A war from the man of peace. War from a man of peace. Obama wants us to side with Al-Qaeda, the group that committed 9/11, murdering 3,000 Americans in the worst terrorist atrocity on U.S. soil. Now they're our ally? And John Kerry, that liar, says the Syrian rebels are not dominated by moderates, are dominated by moderates? No, 50% are fanatics who've committed atrocities. The jihadists slaughtering priests, nuns, women, children, burning churches, Aramaic-speaking Christian communities dating back to the time of Jesus Christ, routinely attacked by our new friends. And what is the goal of Al-Qaeda, the new friends of Obama and Biden? To cleanse Syria of all Christians. It's unbelievable to me. It's beyond comprehension. We have Roman emperors drunk on power, detached from reality. Now, I think that there are tens of millions of people who see this, obviously, because when these other little emperors go home to their constituents, like McCain, the lunatic fringe, and the people scream at him, even that moron gets the message. And these morons come back shaken, and they say, I don't think I can vote for it. I'm liable to get thrown out of office. So that's all they care about is power, as you well know, nothing else. There's no right or wrong to them. To the emperor, there's no right or wrong. They throw 10,000 children off a cliff for pleasure and then eat a good breakfast in the morning. They'll have their oatmeal and their vitamins to make certain that they live another day. So there we are. I've talked to my father tonight on the radio. I've played the Requiem. I've tried to appeal to people who are listening. I don't know what size the audience is. Does it matter? Does it matter if it's 10,000 or a million? I don't know how many people listen to the show. Does anyone really know? You know, there's a saying, he who saves a single life, it is though he saved the entire world. It was written in the 11th or 12th century by a great rabbi, Maimonides, who was a philosopher. And it's something I've never forgotten. It's why great doctors exist. It's why firemen exist and police exist and soldiers exist. It's why any good Samaritan exists. They know that. He who saves a single life, it is though he saved the entire world. It's why people don't abort children who have spina bifida. I mean, maybe the doctor says throw him in the garbage can, but as I told you, a caller 3 weeks ago brought us to tears. He said his son was born with spina bifida, and the doctor said kill him. He said his son is now a PhD student at the University of Pennsylvania. I mean, I started to shake at the thought of human life and the sanctity of human life, how much it's valued to me, how I've lived my entire life letting flies out of the window, picking birds up with broken wings, loving dogs. What can I do? What can I do? This is the way I'm made. It's the way I'm made. Who's threatening me? Who's threatening me? What, there's a Syrian around the corner with a bomb? That I got to call 911 and Sheriff Obama will save me? Anyone been attacked by a Syrian lately? Any of Assad's soldiers bothered you recently? Or was it some gangbangers from Mexico with tattoos on their neck who were swarming over the border? How about that war? How about the war against America going on from our southern border? Where's Janet Napolitano now? Oh, they rewarded her. They took her out of Homeland Security because she decimated our borders and opened us up to a flood of immigrants. And by the way, speaking of that, since I'm on that subject, Do you realize that one of the side effects of this warmongering by Obama and the psychotic Democrats, there's almost a silver lining in this, domestically? Do you realize what this has done to his juggernaut against our borders, language, and culture? Do you realize that his madness, spending his capital on this, is going to possibly stop his desire to pass amnesty for illegal aliens? You believe that McCain and the rest of these louts are going to push amnesty for illegals at a time like this? No, these louts have a bigger game now. The louts are smelling blood, and there's no greater sport for these louts than blood itself. Oh, they love busting down borders and turning America into a cesspool, a third world cesspool. They would love that, to turn America into a melange of people that don't even understand the language. That way they can manipulate everybody simply by doing anything they want, because their people don't even know what the heck they're talking about. What could be better than bringing in 70 million people who don't speak the language? Think about what they could get away with then. There'd be no opposition. The 30 million who know what's going on certainly would become a minority in their own country. But I think that's been going to be sidelined right now. Oh, yeah, that I think that agenda item is pushed off to the back burner, as they used to say in Washington. They got bigger fish to fry now. Oh, they got a whale of a fish to fry right now. It's called Syria. They got to burn it. They got to make it. They got to take Syria, and they got to blacken it. See, they got to turn it into blackened, like a blackened fish. And they don't want the little guppy anymore, the guppy of immigration reform. That's going to be put on the side burner. No, they got a big whale they got to blacken. They got the spices ready. They got the fires up real hot. The coals are just right now to turn Syria into a blackened whale. What a prize that will be for their controllers. So there it is. That's the world tonight, according to Michael Savage. It's a very bleak world in some ways, but a very hopeful world in others. Why do I say hopeful? Because we have a pope on the world stage who has stood up to this martinet in the White House. The pope has said no. The pope has said no, war is not the answer. And he's told Catholics to fast tomorrow. And that means the priests across the world are going to follow his dictum. Oh, whoa, where are the Jewish people? Oh, where have they gone? Oh, what has happened to the Jewish people lining up for war?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here we are in hour number three of the Savage Nation this Friday. It's getting pretty crazy. The Pope has taken on Obama. Pope Francis has warned a military strike would be futile. God bless him. Pope Francis calls all Catholics to pray and fast. And the vermin at CBS News, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. The rats in the media at CBS have said that the Pope's prayer for peace is nothing more than a religious street protest. I swear to God, this is how bad it's become. It's the communists versus the world. Russia, meanwhile, will help Syria if the USA attacks. Russia is sending more naval ships to the coast of Syria. Obama doesn't have the votes. Obama lost at the G20 meeting. Iran is plotting revenge. It gets worse by the second. Worse by the second. Now, if we go to michaelsavage.com, my website, home of the Savage Nation, you'll see a few different articles. A war the Pentagon doesn't want. Iran threatens brutal attacks on Americans and Obama's family. Schools send fat letters to parents. Thousands of North Korean Gulag prisoners disappeared from being starved to death, and Obama did nothing. The Egyptian media, meanwhile, portrays Obama as a devil. Hitler's bodyguard, Rokas Misch, died at age 96. And who said that the evil don't live on? Syria has said it won't give in even if there's World War III. Meanwhile, Christian villages are being burned to the ground in Syria. You haven't seen those pictures. Yeah, there's a lot more out there. There's a lot more out there. Go to michaelsavage.com. Go to michaelsavage.com and read all about it. Here are some of the questions that we've been covering today. Obama appears to be losing his gamble to win the backing that he wants for the Syria strike. Who have you called or talked to let your opinion be known? A war the Pentagon doesn't want. Do you actually think the military leaders are against this? Do you think that Obama will look for a way out of attacking? There are other questions and comments. Do you think Iran is bluffing in order to make Obama look even weaker? Or do you fear that Iran and her agents right here in this country will cause mayhem in the United States of America? By the way, here are four anti-war celebrities who have said nothing. Big mouths. Big mouths against the war before. Last known communications years ago. Let's put Bruce Springsteen at the top. What is Bruce Springsteen good for? Absolutely nothing. Sheryl Crow, Martin Sheen, Ed Asner, Sean Penn, Tim Robbins, George Clooney, Janine Garofalo, Neil Young, Jessica Lange, Barbara Streisand, Danny Glover, Susan Sarandon. Silence. Silence. Not one word about the proposed bombing of civilians in Syria. You're listening to The Savage Nation, incidentally, the last word in talk radio. It's open mic to Mike Friday. Any topic is fair game, although I'm focused only on the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are dragging Obama and America into a war nobody wants in America, except, of course, the munitions manufacturers and the special interests in Turkey, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, to the best of my analysis. The American people don't want the war because, A, they don't want to kill innocent Syrians. B, they're not sure the chemical weapons were used by Assad, since he had no reason to use them since he was winning the war. And the UN inspectors are on the ground, and the evidence is coming out that, in fact, it's fabricated, and that the weapons were used by the so-called rebels. And C, shall I go down the list why America opposes the war? How about the fact that we're bankrupt from Iraq and Afghanistan? So I go to the New York Post website to try to find one story on the war. This is Murdoch's tabloid, the New York Post, which I used to like. I would go on it every day for my horoscope. I can't even find my horoscope now. The New York Post changed their... they got a new webmaster who looks like he used to work for Obama. I went on the website to try and find one story about the war. Instead, I got entrapped by sexy pics of accused murderer Jodi Arias. I didn't mean to. I was trying to find news about Syria, and I couldn't. It's at home news, okay? So I go to the homepage, and you try to click to find news. The next thing I know, I'm looking at Jodi Arias now. I can't even get out of it. The next page is Suri Cruz sobs after dropping her stuffed animal in New York City. This is Murdoch's. I can't believe it. Twisted new details in Hannah Anderson kidnapping. The skilled and seductive Kate Upton. This is the best Murdoch can do? I'm trying to find news on the New York Post. I can't. Here, I'm on homepage. Never miss a minute of pop culture, it says. There's not one word about war news. Okay, Neil, give me a call, any call. I don't care who. Just pick one. Scott on WMAL in Washington. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike. Okay, there are so many reasons why we should not be going to war with Syria. Just a couple. First of all, law of unintended consequences. We don't know how this will play out, just as we didn't know how Iraq would play out, because unfortunately we do have a lot of incompetent leaders. Secondly, today's friend is tomorrow's enemy. We don't even know who we really ultimately would be giving aid to.
We the people don't know, but Obama knows who he's helping. He's helping the Islamists. So, I mean, it's no mystery to the rest of the world who knows what he's doing. Anyone who studied this knows that he's giving weapons and aid and comfort to the enemy himself. Why would you give weapons to people who want to kill us?
Well, you certainly wouldn't do that. And lastly, and probably most importantly, we have no allies in this conflict. Who is our ally? What ally would we be giving military aid to?
Well, why then do you then ask yourself this question? Why are all of the institutional Jewish organizations supporting the war? Why is Marvin Chaya, AIPAC, every Israel group in America supporting this war? Tell me why. In other words, if Obama's backing Islamists, why does Israel want to go to war with them?
It's sick. I'm Jewish, and I happen to be, like, sickened by that. But
yeah, how come in a time like this, that it takes Pope Francis to say no war, talk it over, it should be peace, and not one Major League Jewish organization said the same thing. Instead, they're screaming for blood. Explain that to me. It gets me sick.
Can I just give you one word about faith? You asked about faith. I know I'm switching.
Yeah, no, I don't care. Go. Talk about faith. Where is God now that I need him?
If faith is even remotely connected to some type of divine entity, then by inference, implication, and definition, you and I can't possibly understand the mechanism that controls faith. No way. Faith for us is what we know happened after it happened.
And all right, thanks for the call. Every breath I take is like a mystery to me. Every breath is a mystery to me. Would you believe that? Okay, well, I'm that kind of spiritual person. I consider each breath somewhat miraculous. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Over 1,400 people were gassed. Over 400 of them were children. This is not something we've fabricated. This is not something that we are using as an excuse for military action. As I said last night, I was elected to end wars, not start them.
Well, that's right. You were elected because you said you would end wars, not to end wars, because the first thing you did, Mr. Obama, was send 30,000 fresh troops to Afghanistan. And yet the morons voted for you anyway. The crazy liberals who believe they're intelligent didn't even notice. Now, there is evidence coming out of many sources, including Christian nuns, saying that this entire event of the gassing was fabricated and staged, incidentally. That's number one. Number two, nobody knows how so many children were lined up so quickly and laid to rest in front of sheets for the American, for the world press to see. Nobody knows that. And yet Obama just hinted that it's fake. He said this is not something we fabricated. Something I will tell you about pathological liars is that they usually tell you that they're lying without knowing they're telling you they're lying. Something is very wrong. Russia will help Syria if USA attacks. They're sending more naval ships to the coast. And let me tell you something. It's not the rust bucket Navy that it was 15 years ago after the fall of the Soviet Union. They've been making a lot of money on their oil, gas, minerals, and they put a lot of it back into the military. Their ships look quite good to me. Is this what you want? Is this what you psychopathic liberals want? Is a world war? What the hell is wrong with you? You know, when this all started, I read to you The Guns of August, 1917. I told you the parallels to the beginning of World War I, with the exception of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, are overwhelming. The parallels are shocking. There was a book called The Guns of August. It was a bestseller when I was a youngster. And I've since studied the beginning of World War I, and it was a war that nobody seemed to really want. It started quite by accident. It was one big nation threatening another. The other nation didn't want to be pushed around. They reluctantly reacted. Then nations came in on the sides of the other nations, and before long, 3 million Englishmen were dead, and 3 million Germans were dead, and millions of French were dead, and millions of Turks were dead. Do you understand what could happen here? Is the human race this stupid? I'm not this stupid. I read my Santayana in college. Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. I read my history. I'm trying to give it to you. We see World War I, in part, repeating itself all over again. Only this time it's not about the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. This time it's about the gassing of some poor innocent people in Syria, which, even if it happened, is not a pretext for America to launch a world war, because other people will die. So you're telling me the way you stop this is how? By killing people? Look, I said to you before, to use the Holocaust analogy is a blasphemy of the lowest order. Of the highest order, excuse me. For Jews to use the Holocaust is a shame of shames. Are there any Jewish people listening to this show who had liberal rabbis get up there last night at the Rosh Hashanah service and dare say we should go to war in Syria? I'd like you to call the show. Because every Catholic in this country is going to be told this Sunday, because they have a legitimate, decent pope, that war is not the answer. Now suddenly the Jews, the peace-loving Jews, are the warmongers, and the Catholics are against the war? How'd that happen? How could the Jewish people be whipped into a war frenzy? How is it possible? Are the idiots in the rabbinate so tied into their politics that they can't even see their own Torah? Do they know what a Torah is? How long has it been since these liberal rabbis read the Bible or read the Torah? It takes more than pointing with a silver finger. Read what you make the boys learn, you idiots, you. Yeah, this is my pulpit. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. Call up one of your organizations and tell them that I'm saying bad things about you. Go ahead, see if I care. Shame on all of you. Every synagogue in America should be doing what every church is going to be doing this Sunday, which is say no war. Sit down and talk. That's what the Bible teaches us, peace, not war. The president is wrong. That's what every synagogue should be teaching its congregations tomorrow and last night, but they didn't, did they? No, they didn't. So it takes Pope Francis, to get up and say no war. He's taking on the president of the United States. He doesn't want war. It's not unusual that popes are against war and for peace, but it's quite unusual that he would stand out like this and put his neck out like this to try and stop this war before it's too late. It's Friday night. And am I a little too vulgar for you and too rough? Is my voice a little too harsh? Are you lonely tonight? What can I tell you? What can I tell you? You want to hear something funny? Let me take a call. Marcus on WFDM. Indiana, Marcus, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'd like to thank you for, you always pay homage to the rough men in society that protect us from the cutthroats. You know, I think you refer to them as the wolfhounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a combat medic. That means a lot, doctor.
Yeah, well, you are the wolfhounds. And if without the wolfhounds, we'd be devoured by the Muslim wolves.
It's absolutely. And it just amazes me that, you know, the girls would like to turn us in geldings except for when they need us to do their bidding in places like...
Oh, the girls who've taken over the military, who were screaming about 2 weeks ago sexual abuse in the military. Now all of a sudden the men they were trying to emasculate, they suddenly need them to drop bombs. Let the girls drop the bombs!
Absolutely.
Put all the fraudulent generals into the airplanes. Put the fakers in skirts into the bombers.
Absolutely, doctor. The men with tattoos on their arms and machine guns that go to war against the cutthroats every day.
Put the girls in their skirts, all the fake generals. Put them in the airplanes.
Yeah, see how well they'll do without a hairdresser.
I'm sick from this. It's getting me ill. I can't take it anymore. Thanks for the call. Here, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. It is Open Mic to Mike Friday. Any topic is fair game. Primarily war. I'm not going to ask you a war question. You know, I got to tell you something. You know, I wrote two novels, right? And I'm very proud of them. I wrote Abuse of Power with Jack Hatfield, and the second one was A Time for War. Jack Hatfield's the main character. And a number of you have taken to the character, and he's kind of, you know, 50,000, 100,000 people have read the books, and they like Jack. They can't wait to see the third novel. I'm working on the third novel. It'll be out next year. I'm not selling you a book. But I'm working on the character, and I've invented a new character for the book as a foil for some of my beliefs. So the editor sent me back a note saying, do you want him to be this rough? Do you want him to say these things? And what shocks me is most of the things I'm having this new character say are the things I say myself in private. So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, is what I'm saying in private is too rough for an editor? I put it into a character. Do you understand what I'm saying, what you have to do when you're writing a novel? You have to divide pieces of yourself up into the characters. And if you're a less stable person than I am, you go to pieces altogether, and you become a politician. You take Prozac and you run for office with one main character in your face. Of course, Shakespeare had at least 32 different horses running through his brain. Yeah, that's why you should never use marijuana or any other psychedelic drugs, young people. Young people, listen to old Savage. I'm giving you a hint. You will never, ever regret what I am telling you. If you're a dummy and you have a low IQ, go ahead, use the marijuana. It might raise your IQ from a single-string banjo to, let's say, a dual-string banjo. But if you were blessed with a violin for a mind and a good violin, why would you want to resonate those strings out of key? What would you want to put poison into your head for? Why? Why? Those drugs are made for stupid people, dummies. They're made for idiots who don't have an imagination. They need drugs. If you're blessed with an imagination and a mind, you don't need drugs. It's for the dummies, the morons who are dull. They don't have an original thought in their head. They think that if they get stoned, suddenly they're having an original thought. They're not. They're just getting more stupid. But the main point is that if you have a violin between your ears, don't muck up the strings with marijuana. They'll all go out of tune. All of them. None of them play right after you do this to your violin too often.
Savage.
Hey, look, the war is not popular with most of the American people. In fact, it's hated. It's despised. Poll after poll shows that we do not want or need another war. But this one party, war party, keeps banging the war drum. When Britain's parliament voted for no military action, we thought maybe it would slow the dictator Obama down. But it only seemed to make him double his efforts. In a recent article, our next guest, Tim Stanley, jokingly said that Britain has helped Obama rediscover the Constitution. Huh. I wish that were true. He joins us now to explain. Tim, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
It's good to be with you again.
Explain what you mean by that statement.
Okay, so basically, last week, the British Parliament surprised everyone, first by having a vote on war, which is actually something we've not done for a very long time, and secondly, actually choosing to vote against going to war with Syria. And what that seems to have done is created a weird ripple effect that we didn't expect, that Barack Obama has decided to also throw a vote about a potential war with Syria over to Congress. Now, when I wrote that, I kind of was being slightly cheeky because in his speech, Barack Obama sort of name-checked Britain and sort of mentioned the fact that we'd held this vote. I never really meant that he was being motivated entirely by trying to copy what we had done. But when I wrote that, it looked as though any vote he put to Congress, he would actually take seriously, whereas we now know that he'll probably go to war however Congress votes. But either way, we're in quite a novel situation here, where Barack Obama, who doesn't normally care about what Congress thinks about anything when it comes to foreign policy, has decided to consult them. So it's kind of a big moment for him.
How is Obama's war mania going over in the UK?
Well, what's happening in Britain now is that some of the members of Parliament who voted against war are now starting to rethink that. Since John Kerry has made such a strong case for it, and since Barack Obama has really finally invested emotion and passion into making a case for war, some British MPs are starting to regret saying no to it, and it's possible that Britain could end up having a second vote and maybe even changing its mind, although the Prime Minister says he won't. What I think is really interesting is that Barack Obama has moved the issue on. So when we were discussing it in Britain, it was purely about punishing Assad for using chemical weapons. But Barack Obama is now really talking explicitly about regime change and assisting the rebels. So even though Britain kind of threw a spanner in the works and caused him to stop and think, and even though he's gone to Congress, which looks as though he's behaving more constitutionally, what's interesting is he's actually becoming more militant on the issue and is now really talking really quite broadly about getting rid of Assad and helping the rebels.
Well, do you think Parliament may change its vote and vote for military action?
It is possible. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, has said that he respects Parliament and that he will not have a second vote and that military action is off the table. But quite frankly, he's the kind of leader who changes his mind from one opinion poll to the next. The British public is solidly against any kind of intervention. And what's interesting is they've actually become more against intervention as the debate has gone on. So there's no pressure from the British public for the British army to intervene. But it is possible that within Parliament there could be a growing movement to do something. You see, Britain is really worried less about removing Assad, less about punishing anyone for using chemical weapons. We're really worried about being left out of a war. There's a sense of being embarrassed by not being involved. You know, Vladimir Putin, one of his aides, described Britain as a little island today. That's the sort of thing that Britain's worried about, losing our kind of global status if we're not there. And I think that's what could drive Parliament to reconsider it and maybe hold a second vote.
Why is it so hard for the world to trust Obama on this war against the Syrian people?
Because this is a guy who does not hold a consistent position. That whether you're in favor of the war or against it, what's important is consistency in foreign policy, because that's how people overseas know whether or not they can trust your word, and it's also how people at home know whether or not they can trust you to lead them. You know, John McCain is in favor of every single war since the beginning of time. Ron Paul is against every single war since the beginning of time. Barack Obama's opinion is all over the shop. When he was a candidate, he said that any kind of war would have to be put to Congress, and that he would respect Congress's decision. Now he says that's not the case. Back in about 2009, John Kerry, on his behalf, was describing Syria as a credit to the region and one of the partners in the Middle East peace process. So he's flipped on those really big fundamentals, of which the most significant recently is that he claimed he personally never put down a red line when it came to the use of chemical weapons, which is absolute nonsense, because a year ago he said at a press conference, I'm laying down a red line, and it's about the use of chemical weapons. So this is a guy who it's very difficult to take his word on trust. And therefore, it's very difficult to follow him anywhere, because you never quite know where he's going or what's motivating him.
In 2009, Obama stressed the point that the United States was not really exceptional, and we should not be so quick to go it alone. Well, now he seemed to flip that around.
Absolutely. I mean, if America is going to be like the leader of the free world, it's got to have a moral reason to do that. And the moral reason is its exceptionalism. It's this idea that America is unique, unique in its freedom, unique in its natural gifts, unique in its abilities, unique in its power. That's American exceptionalism. That's what it means, that God has given this country a special role to play in the world. Now, you may agree with that idea, you might not agree with that, but that's kind of at the core of why America has felt it has a moral responsibility to lead in the last 100 years. Well, Barack Obama's presidency has represented a departure from that. He was speaking at a meeting of the G20 when he famously said that I think America's exceptional in the same way that British people think Britain's exceptional and Greek people think Greece is exceptional. So in other words, relativism. He was saying all countries think they're great. All countries in their own way are great. And we're one country among many. No better, really, no worse. Which is a big departure from how American presidents have traditionally seen the role of their country in the world. And the problem with that is that if you think America isn't exceptional, well, then why should it be the country leading on Syria? Why should it be the country that cracks down on people using chemical weapons? Why must America always be the country to make the biggest sacrifices of people overseas if America's not special? Why can't China do it? Why can't Russia do it? That's the problem of how you explain why America does so much if you don't think it's so special.
What do you actually think is going to be the outcome here?
Well, looking at the numbers right now, it looks as though Congress, or at least the House, may vote against war. My suspicion is that Barack Obama will pursue war anyway. The question is, what will happen next? We don't know. This is an extraordinary war in the sense that not only do we not have an exit strategy, but we don't have an entrance strategy. No one has actually said what the Western powers involved will do. No one has said what the limits are. No one has said what their goals are. So we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. What we do know is that Russia is quietly drawing its own red lines. And one of them is that it has said that it will back Syria in some way in the event of a U.S. attack. So this is starting to turn into a proxy conflict between Russia and America. So I think war is coming. I think it's going to be quite a dangerous situation. I hope it will resolve itself. I hope this won't prove necessary. But we're going down a route which is very troubling and very, very risky.
Where can we read more, Tim?
You can read a lot more at the Telegraph website and at the Telegraph blogs where I write every day.
Tim Stanley, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thank you so much.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I deem him one of the greatest beings alive in our time. His name will live in history. It will live in the annals of war. It will live in the legends of Arabia.
He was a very great man.
He was a poet, a scholar, and a mighty warrior. It's also the most shameless exhibitionist since Barnum and Bailey.
Put it before Congress because I could not honestly claim that the threat posed by Assad's use of chemical weapons on innocent civilians and women and children posed a imminent direct threat to the United States.
In that situation, obviously, I don't worry about Congress. We do what we have to do to keep the American people safe. I could not say that it was immediately, directly going to have an impact on our allies. Again, in those situations, I would act right away.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. A rogue administration, government anarchy. It's like a rogue administration, like a rogue elephant gone wild on a killing spree. Isn't it ironic that all the libs are now for the war, and here I sit, an anti-war conservative. Whatever happened to the anti-war celebrities who had such big yaps and haven't been seen or heard since 2009? Bruce Springsteen, last known pre-2009 communication according to BuzzFeed, he said, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. I would say Bruce Springsteen is good for nothing. Or Sheryl Crow, Martin Sheen, Ed Asner, Sean Penn. He said in 2009, I think we're past that point in human evolution where there's such a thing as winning wars. Ha! Tim Robbins, George Clooney, Janine Garofalo, Neil Young, Jessica Lange, Barbara Streisand, Danny Glover, Susan Sarandon. Where are they? Where are we now that we don't need them? Where are they, now that we don't need them? The hypocrisy is so loud, you can hear it running from Beverly Hills to wherever. So, to show you what's going on in the media, I'm in the Indian buffet this afternoon. Yes, I did it again. Twice in a week. It's a world record. I'm so anxiety-struck from the war news. I'm so exhausted. I'm eating junk every day, so I eat Indian again. There's two middle-aged men, white men, talking about the war for a moment, and they say, well, we don't really care if bombs kill innocent Syrians. It's not our problem. The trick here is to get even with Assad. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Liberals have finally come out of the closet as the warmongers that underneath it all, they're insane. It's crazy. This is a very sad story. Woman killed by city truck was a Zen monk, a nice woman. She goes to a park in San Francisco. She's lying on the lawn in the middle of the day with her child, baby and a dog, and this piece of garbage maintenance truck driver drives over and kills her. Can you believe this? And then flees the scene. People in the neighborhood had complained over and over again about the morons working for the Parks and Rec Department, saying they were speeding on the grass. They run over this girl, this woman, Christine Sfamia, a victim of him running. She's sleeping on the grass in the middle of the day, and she's a Zen monk, no less. It's unbelievable. You know, underneath the surface, you don't know what to make of these stories. It's awful. You ask yourself, how does life go on? How does life go on? How do you compute this? God punished her for what reason? The woman was lying with her baby and dog in the lawn. In the lawn? I guess the writer means on the lawn, but in San Francisco, that's the best we can get. This is the kind of journalist that they can still hire. It's like certain talkers. Zvana was lying with her baby and dog in the lawn? You don't lie in the lawn. You lie on the lawn. At Holly Park, when the driver of the city truck ran over shortly after 2 p.m., the driver, Thomas Bernoski, 57, was arrested on suspicion of vehicular manslaughter. Terrible story. I read those stories and I say, what is fate all about? What is fate all about? How do you justify a thing like this? What did she do wrong to be run over on a lawn? What did this woman do to be run over on a lawn, I ask myself? What are you going to say, God did it to her because she did something wrong? That's like when a Christian school bus turns over in Mississippi somewhere on the way to a camp, a Christian camp, and 13 children are killed. What, they were being punished for some reason? And then I read, wait, the same thing? Hitler's bodyguard dies yesterday, age 96. He lived to a ripe old age of 96 in Munich. You hear? Not a bad day in his life. Hitler's bodyguard lives to 96. This woman, a Zen monk, gets run over at 37. How do you explain that? God is all-knowing. God is good. So in other words, the Muslims who are running around cutting off people's heads and killing people all over the Middle East are doing it in the name of God? Oh, God. I'm sorry. I mean, well, oh, God. Yeah, oh, God. Oh, boy, what a job I have. Four Russian ships head for Syria. Interfax. Associated Press. Three Russian naval ships were sailing towards Syria in the eastern Mediterranean on Friday, and a fourth was on its way. The Interfax news agency reported, citing a source at Navy headquarters. So what are the liberals saying? Good, good, good. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let them shoot them down, too. Go ahead. Drop the bombs on them, too. I saw them the other night, Wednesday. I wanted to break the television.
some Jewish organization in Washington, skinning that guy. Okay, let me let it out on the table. Go ahead. Get him really mad at me. See if I care. Six guys, the bunch of them never shot a Daisy BB gun. Not one of them. All of a sudden, we give them 45 days like we did Saddam, or 10 days. You know, Mark, how many? I'd give him 10. And then what? Well, if he doesn't do it, the bombs fall, the bombs drop. I said, this is what they're doing? Who is the schmuck? I look at a former Undersecretary of State under George Bush. So these are the schmucks who were advising Bush. These are the guys who were put in there to push Bush into Iraq. Do you understand how dangerous this is? Do you have any idea who's advising Obama? The same people who advised Bush. Do you have any idea? I've been right all these years I've been on radio that we have a one-party system with two-card Monty. Well, you do know now. Even Wallbanger suddenly attacks Republicans these days. He realizes where the money shot is. After going to the White House and shining Bush's shoes and coming back broadcasting from Bush's bathroom, came back broadcasting from Bush's bathroom. Oh, yeah, gung-ho on Iraq. Oh, I'm gung-ho. Go, go, go. Ooh, I'm Wallbanger. Go, go, Georgie. Liberate the Shiites. I heard this for years on his show. Now all of a sudden he's anti-Republican because they're not in power. He's turning on them. Everywhere suddenly he's turning. It's fashionable to be an independent. Limbaugh ripped off the Revere thing. Now he's Rush Revere. Great. Good job, Rush, with the point he had. Great. Great children's book. I love it. Rush Revere. I guess his next book could be Rush Savage. That wouldn't be a bad book. Okay, whatever. It's a big world. Not everyone has my gifts, okay, so I have to be a little kinder. That's all. That's simple. Holy man once said that to me. I was stuck teaching in a junior college with the stupidest people I ever met in my life. The girls had beehive hairdos. Here I was with a PhD from Berkeley, and I couldn't get a job because I was a white male. You know, that was a born to be condemned, you know, at that time. They were only hiring others. PhD, almost an A index, book after book. The best job I could get was teaching in a junior college. The girls all had beehive hairdos. They looked like they were out of The Sopranos, like ready knits and the crosses and the jewelry on the neck. They were doing their nails during science. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they were nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, doc. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That kind of thing. And with the legs crossed, the skirt. I said, okay, I can't take another day of this. I can't. This is what millions of years of evolution to teach Soprano's daughter in a junior college about biology? Yeah, with 4-inch heels. How are my nails looking, huh? Hey, Anthony, you like my nails? I mean, it was unbelievable to me. So I got very frustrated. So I went to a holy man about it. So I said, why has God done this to me? I can't take it anymore. So he said to me, if you're put in a position where you're given the opportunity to teach people who don't have your education or even your intelligence, then teach them. That's where God wants you. And I calmed down for like 2 years after that. Once I accept fate, I'm good at it. You know what I'm saying? Once you realize that that's it, you live with it. It's that simple. It's like one day you wake up and your foot doesn't work, so you live with a bum foot. You don't curse fate for giving you a bum foot, right? Isn't that the way it is? Say, that's it. Like Freud, didn't Freud say? Yes, Freud said. You didn't read Freud. I read all of Freud. Freud said that if one day you wake up and find out that you can only that you only have one arm and one leg, what you do is, he said, you crawl on the good arm and the good leg. That's what Freud said. Now, of course, modern psychiatry has rejected Freud for some reason. I guess he wasn't heavily enough into medication for the modern, behaviorists. But I always liked that one. All of us basically are crawling on one arm and one leg. We're all psychic cripples in one way or the other. Do you understand that? You think you're really a whole person? What, because you went to Woodstock and laid in the mud? So the question is God. Where is God? It's a very, very holy time for Jews around the world, and yet the liberal Jews are calling for war, while the Catholics are calling for peace. The rabbis who are afraid of a BB gun or a backfire are calling for bombing Syria, by and large. The organized Jewish groups, bombing, bombing, bombing. This is at a time of Rosh Hashanah. It's hard for you to believe this is going on in your lifetime. It's like a madness has pervaded the land. It's almost as though Obama is some kind of Merlin who can completely hoodwink people into going against their best instincts. It's beyond belief.